Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by our duty expert on matters involving economic warfare. He is Kevin Freeman, the founder of globaleconomicwarfare.com, a terrific blog, a man trained in the black arts of financial management and advisory capacities, which has given him great insights into, among other things, economic warfare that is being practiced these days, the subject of two very important books, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Kevin Freeman, welcome back. It's good to have you as always.
Thank you, Frank. Always good to talk to you.
Well, I hardly know where to begin, Kevin. We probably should start with something that you and I have talked about a lot over the years and that seems to be getting more and more problematic, namely attacks on currencies. We're, of course, especially concerned about ours, but give us a sense of what happened to the British pound last week and what it might portend for us and perhaps our status as a reserve currency.
Well, it was a little over a week ago, but the British pound all of a sudden dropped 6% in a matter of minutes, something currency traders had never seen before. They weren't expecting. They didn't have a justification for it. But it's clearly tied to the adoption of high-frequency trading techniques in the currency markets. Those same techniques that have caused ripples in our stock market at times where we had the flash crash of 2010 and so forth are being applied inside currency markets, which are the largest financial markets of the world and really do determine the course of history in so many ways. And so we saw this as a first indication that hackers or malicious actors in some way, if they got a hold of the trading algorithms, could literally pump up a currency, which would be destructive if it got overvalued, or destroy a currency, which could literally ruin a nation's ability to pay its debts around the world.
Now, Kevin, given that these kinds of transactions, whether at high frequency or otherwise, are communicated via the internet, knowing what you do about cyber economic warfare, what are the chances that, if not already, certainly in the near future, we will see agents of Russia or China or others accessing these algorithms and engaging in precisely such behavior?
Oh, I think the chances are, if it's true that the Russians have hacked our elections, as the government and the DNC claims, what would they be afraid to hack? What would they be afraid to manipulate? And they wouldn't have to do it to destroy a currency. They could do it to alter trade negotiations. They could do it to create business opportunities so that you move a currency right before a negotiation comes due. They could do it for commercial purposes, or they could do it for nation-ending purposes. I think that the chances of it happening are near 100%.
One other facet of this has been, again, something that you have been concerned about, namely Russia and China deliberately seeking to displace the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. The Chinese have made rather considerable strides, and you've pointed out it's not just getting their renminbi into the basket of special drawing rights of the IMF, but also putting in place institutions that can challenge those of the Bretton Woods era that the United States has largely dominated since World War II. How serious, Kevin, are recent developments on the part of the Chinese, perhaps with Russian help, in terms of bringing about that portentous change in the status of our currency?
Well, there's little doubt that the Russians attempted to destroy our currency as recently as 2008. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson pointed that out, but the Chinese didn't join them. Then in 2013, the Chinese regime decided that the dollar, we had to de-Americanize the world and remove the dollar as the controlling currency. And from that moment forward, China has joined Russia in developing things like the Asia Development Bank and alternatives to the traditional pillars of the Western currency system. So they have their own banking system. They have their own SWIFT alternative where they can transact business. And they have encouraged every nation to trade away from dollars and in their local currency or in the renminbi or in dollar exchange. And we've seen that increasing. It's not there yet. They couldn't pull the rug completely out from the dollar yet, but they've certainly put the pillars in place for an alternative system. And with that, then you add this cyber component to it, where you could manipulate the algorithms, or you could literally force currency traders to crash a currency without knowing it.
Kevin, this is very disturbing, needless to say, especially against the backdrop of what seems to be increasingly and overtly bellicose rhetoric and behavior on the part of Vladimir Putin. Do you think things are coming to a head, and might they before this election or shortly thereafter?
Well, you know, we saw the before the election, the stock market crash in 2008, and that changed everything. But if you wanted to do that and change, alter the election, you would have done it in September or by now. It is very late in the game to actually literally change the election with this. Which is why I question whether or not the Russians truly want, you know, the claim is they want Donald Trump in the White House. And I just don't believe that. I don't think it's in their economic interest. I think their interest is in sowing discord and disharmony and problems in the United States. And I see that very clearly. But it might happen before the election, but it might also happen early in the presidency, as we saw in 9/11.
Either way, it's bad for the country, potentially, you know, nation ending, I guess, really. Kevin, speaking of which, I had a fascinating conversation on the program about 2 weeks ago with an old friend of yours and mine, Roger Robinson, who also has been working in these economic warfare spaces for a long time, as have you. And let me just plug in particular an important contribution you're making in the form of the National Security Investment Consultants Institute as a means for training up other people with your kind of background to understand national security and practice, well, in a way that supports it, at least, their work in the financial sector. But Rogers warned, Kevin, that we are now increasingly seeing what amount to strategic acts of economic warfare against this country, dressed up as commercial transactions, investment plays, infrastructure acquisitions, and the like. And by the way, other countries in the free world, too, not just us. But essentially, because they are commercial plays, the authorities in this country and elsewhere seem to be largely turning a blind eye to them. Should we be concerned about such activities and the possibility that they could, in fact, be part of a concerted economic warfare campaign against us?
Well, there's no doubt that we've talked about Alibaba on this program before, how they acquired so much cash in the largest IPO in history, and they put that cash to work by buying up much of Silicon Valley, emerging technology companies that become a part of their portfolio, that become under control of a communist Chinese regime. And so we're seeing that happen around the world, and we think it's all about the money, but our geopolitical opponents don't. They think it's about control. So I don't know that we have a nation-ending situation from economic warfare, but we're having a nation-altering situation to where we wake up and we're no longer sovereign. We're owned and controlled by global interests, which is a George Soros concept. And it's something the Chinese talked about. Let's do what George Soros, all of this, currency attacks, controlling geopolitical interests by commercial transactions. All of these things are George Soros ideas, published in the book Unrestricted Warfare by the Chinese in 1999, that describes how you defeat a superpower, and we're watching it happen before our eyes.
Kevin Freeman, thank you so much for the work you do with the National Security Investment Consultants Institute, with your superb blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com, and of course, your two books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan, required reading for all of us. Keep up the good work, my friend, also as a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll explore some of these issues with our friend Gordon Chang as well, right after this. Thank you.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney.